The views and opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of Overseas Radio Network or broadcast partners. All information provided is for educational purposes only. Before taking action, consult a licensed professional.
You've tuned in to Columbia Calling, your first stop for everything you want to know about Columbia. How and where to invest, where to visit. From the Pacific to the Caribbean, the Andes Mountains to the Amazon jungle, Columbia has a slice of everything. Shooting from the hip, answering the questions that need answering. Here's your host, the journalist and hotelier Richard McCall, shedding some light on the fashionable South American destination of Columbia.
It's that time of the week again, folks. Columbia Calling coming up soon with your host, Richard McCall. We talked to Vicky Kellaway, a Briton from Kent and south of London, living here in Bogota. She writes the Banana Skin Flip Flop blog. This is a blog that's won 2 awards, Best Latin American Blog, I believe. We have a poignant interview with her, talking about seeing the city through an expat's eyes. Important for those of you thinking of coming to Colombia. This lady is 6 foot, if not more, blonde, blue-eyed, certainly draws attention, has had no problems, and has acclimatized and assimilated into city life like you'd never imagine. We've got some exclusive material. Vicky lets us in on some secrets. This is not to be missed. The Banana Skin Flip-Flop blog is excellent. Really should be read. So, coming up on Columbia Calling, just a few minutes with your host, Richard McCall.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, your online radio resource about life abroad.
The U.S. government has spoken. It wants higher tax rates, capital controls to keep your money under their control, surveillance to spy on your every email. In short, the government wants to control every aspect of your life and make you their slave. As an internationally minded person, you know keeping everything you own in one country could be disastrous. But how do you get started? Announcing Passport to Freedom. In just 3 days, you'll learn how to escape high taxes and reduce or eliminate your tax burden. How to form an offshore corporation or trust. The best places to get a second passport. The best places to expatriate, and more. This 3-day event will reveal everything you need to know about keeping yourself and your assets safe. Tickets to this event in fabulous Las Vegas are extremely limited, so go to PassportOverseas.com. That's PassportOverseas.com. Seats are extremely limited, so register today and take advantage of a special 50% discount for overseas radio listeners. Don't miss this chance to see offshore and expat experts like Joel Nagel, Bobby Casey, Jake DeSillis, Pete Sisko, Andrew Henderson, and more. Go to OverseasPassport.com now and reserve your ticket before the government shuts this opportunity down.
From China's Great Wall to the Leaning Tower of Pisa, this is the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Columbia Calling. I'm your host, Richard McCall, here in Bogota, the capital city, 2,600 meters closer to the stars, as they say here. We're here to talk about all things Colombian. Later on, we'll be interviewing Vicky Kellaway, a Briton resident in Bogota. She's been here for 3 years. She's an accomplished writer, a blogger, award-winning blogger. You should check out her blog, bananaskinflipflops.com. She sees things that we don't see. Tourists and expats living here. She has a knack for observation, and not just observation, taking that observation and transplanting it to the page. You know, it's a great joy to read her blogs, and she has a massive following, and we are very, very honoured to have her here on the show later on today. So it's Monday. I hope you've all had a good weekend. Columbia certainly will be waking up this Monday morning, or they woke up this Monday, hungover. The Colombian national team beat Ecuador in Barranquilla on Friday evening. Now, that was a 1-0 win in what can only be described as swampy conditions. The 1-0 win with a deflected shot from Falcao, which was then pounced upon by James Rodriguez. So the two Colombian players who play for Monaco in France, teamed up and scored the winning goal over 10 men Ecuador. Ecuador also failed in a penalty. And that takes Colombia, leaves them in the second place in the World Cup qualifying group, the CONMEBOL, the South American World Cup qualifying group for Brazil 2014. That's 1 foot. They've got 1 foot in Brazil. And provided, I don't think that anything's going to happen now, and don't want to jinx it, but we've got Colombia has Uruguay away on Tuesday. That's tomorrow. Tough game. Uruguay really needs a win because they've been falling back in the league. If you want to hear more about football, you might want to tune in to an older podcast with Carl Warswick, who is a British football writer here, resident in Colombia, and he does report on all the games. So check it out. Look up the website. Check out my website, richardmccall.com, and you can find under the Colombia Calling banner links to all the older podcasts, and you can download them all there. And if you're interested in what's going on in Colombia at the time, just read the news that I've been writing up on my site. The last couple of entries are all about the agricultural strike that for basically 15 days across the country just paralyzed everything. More or less, this is coming to an end, but the government here would be myopic to think that it's over. Now, they've frozen some prices and they've gone back on some price increases in fuel and other things, and this is fine. But what we're talking about is almost the very the beginnings of the conflict in Colombia were over land. Colombia is more than 60% agricultural, and the government would do very well to pay more attention to the countryside. They need their infrastructure, they need their health, they need their education, and they've been ignored. And this is true, and so therefore it's been easy picking for subversive guerrilla groups. Talking of the guerrilla groups, they're still there in Cuba, the FARC, the Fuerzas Armadas Revolucionarias de Colombia, dialoguing with the Colombian negotiators, the negotiators of the Colombian government. Apparently they've got further than they've ever got before. And really, we're getting the feeling that something's happening over there. You know, President Santos is ratings are at an all-time low, lower than President Samper's were three mandates ago, and this is worrying, especially worrying when we're in such a critical point of the negotiations. But anyway, so Santos is not well liked despite the advances that he's making with the FARC guerrillas. I think that people aren't really talking about the guerrillas, they're talking about the agricultural strike. But of course these things are very linked. And the poverty in the countryside is what caused, and the landlessness in the countryside is what caused the conflict to begin. You know, they're simplifying it a great deal, but it caused it to surge up from the 1960s. And of course with ideologies of that era. So anyway, that's going on. The ELN, the Ejército de Liberación Nacional, the other guerrilla group, the smaller guerrilla group, are also going to engage in peace talks, in peace dialogues as well. So these are very positive news. If you hadn't seen my blogs or my tweets, I'm Casa Amaria on Twitter, and of course, obviously, as I said before, my blog, richardmccall.com. I got to interview the mayor of Bogotá last week. It was a very big interview. I got 30 minutes with him before he flew off to London, where Bogota won an award from the C40 Siemens Group, cities that are pushing the envelope in terms of development and environmentally friendly development. And Bogota won an award for its policy towards the Transmilenio, that's the bendy bus system that a great deal of us don't really like, but it seems to be going in the right direction. They're extending it, and after January 2014, a lot of newer buses will be put into action, and they'll be electric. So instead of seeing these diesel belching, low-grade fuel belching buses careening along the Avenida Caracas, we'll start to see clean fuel, and hopefully that will improve the quality of air up here in Bogota, because oxygen is thin and we need as much as we can get. And of course the other thing is this fleet of electric taxis. So a fleet of electric taxis are starting to be employed in the city. I think 12 are already in circulation. I've yet to see one, but I have it on good good sources that the 12 are out there, and then shortly there'll be 20, and then we'll see where it goes from there. So things are going in the right direction after the marches and the protests of the 29th of August. So I was in the mayor's office. Got to speak to him. Very interesting man. I wrote a piece for the Colombia Reports website. You just have to Google up Petro, Mayor Petro, and you'll see that he's very positive about the peace talks. And indeed, he has been called by the government, summoned by the government to go out there to Cuba to negotiate and to consult. Because, of course, he's a success story. You may not like him, you may not like his politics. But as a former guerrilla in the second most powerful job in the country, he is a message to the guerrillas out there that it is possible to have political participation in Colombia. Albeit difficult, albeit that, you know, our people are out to get you. He is in the second most important job in Colombia. We can't stress that enough. So read the piece. Spread it around. He was referred to as a heavy metal mayor, heavy metal guerrilla. So that's very interesting. What else can I say? So yes, Colombia win 1-0, and we got Ecuador on Tuesday. And should other results go away, I think on Tuesday night we'll know if Colombia is going to the World Cup. But you know, we're 1 foot there. This will be the first time since France, when England beat France 2-0 with goals from Darren Anderton and David Beckham. And then unfortunately, you know, Colombian football really fell into the doldrums, as well as Colombian spirits. But now we're in a new era. And here to talk about that is Vicky Calloway, the blogger from Banansky and Flip Flops. So don't go away, folks. We're coming right back with Vicky Calloway from Banansky and Flip Flops. I'm your host, Richard Mattel, and this is Colombia Calling.
OverseasRadio.com, broadcasting from Panama to Paris and beyond.
Are you looking to invest, live, or retire overseas? Before you pack your bags, you need to log on to NagelLaw.com. It's the only stop you need to make for global business, asset protection, estate planning, overseas residency, and citizenship needs. Our experts have experience working in 41 countries around the world. Starting a business abroad can be overwhelming without expert help. We assist clients with foreign trust, foundations, corporations, LLCs, IBCs, and property acquisition. Need help with IRA assets abroad, capital formation, foreign securities issues, banking, brokerage, or finance needs? NagelLaw.com. We ensure compliance with U.S. tax and regulatory laws. We engineer global structures to help our clients achieve their personal business objectives. Get started today. To find out about our introductory personal asset protection plan, visit us online, NagelLaw.com. We represent capital overseas.
This tree was never chopped down because this crutch never needed to be carved. Because these legs never grew weak. Because this child never got polio. Over the past 20 years, Rotary Club members have helped immunize over 2 billion children against polio. Now we are on the brink of eradicating this crippling disease once and for all. But we need your help. Thanks to an historic matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to make sure vaccines reach the people who need it, to protect the children of the world against polio forever. This is an opportunity to end polio now. Visit rotary.org/endpolio. Rotary, humanity in motion.
You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network, the exclusive online radio station for the expatriate community.
Good afternoon, I'm Richard McCall. This is Colombia Calling on the Overseas Radio Network, and this week I'm here with Vicky Calloway. She's a citizen of the United Kingdom living in Colombia, but she's an important person here in Colombia. She's been writing about her observations living in the country. What is funny is that she came here to South America for a few months just to travel, just to get a bit of England out of her system, and now she's living here in Colombia. I don't know how that happened, but we're going to explore that right now in this interview with her. Now, some of you out there will know her because she's very famous. She's famous for her blog, which is called bananaskinflipflops.com. Exactly as it sounds, spelt exactly that way, bananaskinflipflops.com. Vicky, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much for having me here. It's a real pleasure.
No, it's great to have you here. And Banana Skin Flip Flops, how did that name come about?
Well, it's the thing everybody does, isn't it? They come away and they start a blog. But my friends weren't really the travel-y types back in Liverpool. They were more your sort of high heels and cocktails. So my best friend said to me, look, you're not going to go away to South America, are you? And come back one of those hippies who says, oh, I lived on the beach and this, look at my flip-flops made from banana skin. So please don't come back like that. We want you to come back a cocktail girl with high heels. And I just laughed. I thought, flip-flops made from banana skins, it sort of summarises up everything people think about travellers who go to find themselves. So the name sort of stuck from that, really.
That's very good. I like it very much, because I worked as an expedition guide for a long time, and I took sort of gap year students out into the jungles and off to Cusco in Peru and what have you. And they would become what I call sort of the gap year hangovers. You know, they had sort of ethnic clothing and thought that it was passable for
gap
London.
Yeah,
the gap years and no music was good enough unless it was Manu Chao. Yeah, so anyway, so you're not wearing banana skin flip flops. Every time you go back to the UK, your friends, I hope, are reassured that you're living a decent life here in Colombia.
Yes, that we're not all hippies out in South America. But it was quite funny. I mean, I chose that name to sort of remind myself not to be like that and to try to sort of stay balanced on all those things, but it worked out quite well, because if you think of banana skins, you sort of slip on them and slide on them and you can't really predict, and it's sort of kind of comical, really. So the blog actually turned into something else entirely, but it worked.
Now the blog is, I have to say, it's one of the most read on Latin America.
Thank you
won an award.
Yes.
Tell us about the awards. Tell what? Yeah, there we go. I haven't done my research. Tell me about your awards, Vicky.
One of them was really nice. It was Latin America Blog of the Year, and that was actually a public vote. So that's nice, really. I mean, that's the point of blogging. It shouldn't be people on a committee who sit down and decide what makes a good blog. And I break all of the rules, sometimes deliberately, sometimes because I don't really know what I'm doing. And it's nice that you start something and you do it for fun and you do it because you love it. I mean, you wouldn't keep a blog going for 3 years if you didn't love it. And then when people come and say, oh, you know, we quite like it too, it's a bit of fun in our day, I quite enjoy reading it, we're going to give it this award, and other people agree. So yeah, I am really, really proud about that.
It's really cool. And now we're going to move back a bit. We were talking about, you came to South America for 3 months, you wrote about it, you've got great posts from Valparaíso and other places all over the continent, but Colombia, I mean, you know, the hook, it was sunk in. What happened?
Yeah, I wasn't even supposed to come to Colombia, actually, because like all English people, I thought, Colombia, that's so dangerous. So I thought, I'll avoid Colombia altogether. I'll start in Ecuador and I'll work my way down to Brazil. And then when I was in Ecuador, I met a girl from Medellin, and she said, oh, come on, what world do you live in? Just go up there for a couple of weeks. One of the things she said to me is, we have really beautiful clothes in Colombia. So go up there and see our clothes, especially Medellin. The women are really well dressed. You'll love it. Go up there, you'll have a great time. Go to Cartagena. I said, okay. I promise you, I will go up there, but I'm not going to Bogota, because Bogota is the worst of them all. I wrote to my family, I said, look, slight change of plan. I'm just going to go up to Colombia just for a couple of weeks. I promise you I won't go to Bogota. And I bought this flight that went straight to Cartagena and only stopped in Bogota for 1 hour. And then I had to send another email saying, well, I'm just going to go and check out this Bogota for just 4 or 5 days. And then I bought a flight to Peru. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go to Bogota for 4 days and I'm going to take this flight to Peru. And then I called the flight company and said, can you just delay this flight for a week? Because I really like Bogota. I mean, it's wonderful. And then can you delay it another week? And then after another week, I wrote to my family and said, look, I'm just going to stay in Bogota for 3 months because I love this city. It's so interesting. I'm going to learn salsa. I'm going to learn Spanish. And I promise you, in 3 months, I'll leave Bogota. And at the end of 3 months, I went to Daz and I said, look, I'm a journalist. Are there any visas available? it really worked like that. It was all unplanned, really.
Oh, that's really cool. Now, with the immigration people, how was that, getting your visa?
Well, I'm a journalist by trade.
Yes.
So they were really good with me. And they were really, really good. I've had much better experiences. But then, this is a traditional country, and I'm a 6-foot-tall, blonde, blue-eyed woman who really wanted to stay in Colombia. And even when I went to renew my visa recently, so I got 2 years to start with, and I've just renewed for another 2 years, and I sort of sat there shaking, and the guy said to me, why are you so nervous? You're doing everything that you told us you would do. You're writing positive things about Colombia. You're doing really well. You clearly work really hard. And I said, because I feel so nervous because now this is my whole life.
Uh-huh.
When I came to you the first time, it was, oh, well, let's just see what happens. 2 years and 2.5 years into living here, suddenly this is it. And
yeah.
You're the guy in charge. He said, oh, don't worry. His name was Jairo. Don't worry, 2 more years and then you can come back after another year and we'll make you a resident. So I've had good experiences. Others have not been so lucky.
Well, I got refused twice.
You need to be a blonde, blue-eyed woman.
Yes,
what happened
true.
To you?
But it was twice by a gentleman. And then I came back and there was a younger lady there who I could smile at. And I actually ended up giving a copy of the guide I wrote to her. And she went, oh, this is wonderful. I've never been to these places. And that became very, very easy. Now I'm on a spouse visa, which is much, much easier. Easier. So if you get married, you know, it's a friend of mine from Bradford, She got refused three times because it was all with women. And then I said, listen, just put on a shorter skirt and go for a man. And she was crying. And of course, stamped straight away. But that's the way it works.
Joking aside, though, I think you need to treat it as a real privilege.
Yes.
So when I go, I'm saying to them, this is so important to me. Mm-hmm. I'm not just somebody who thinks, oh, if you refuse it, I'll go and live in Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know, I've made strong relationships here. I really love the city. And I don't write banana skin flip-flops for any commercial interest or to do something else. I write it because I really believe that. So
yeah.
I think sometimes we can be a bit like, oh, it's just a visa, it's just a stamp. And I think you have to really prove that you chose this country. It's important to you. So yeah, we joke about the short skirts and things, but I would never be blasé about it. I'd never sleep the night before the renewal.
No, mine's next year. I've got another year before I have to do anything. But I think actually next year they give me residency. So
that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, it's like they said, we do want a passport. I was like, really? As much as I'd be privileged and proud, really, you need a visa for everything, and I'm okay with the English and the Canadian passports at the moment, but equally, it would be a great big honour to have a Colombian passport. So anyway, but you lived in Cartagena for a bit.
Yes, I did.
You live in Cartagena, and obviously, I mean, I find Cartagena, I go there and I love it. I find I can breathe. I find there's a real, I mean, it's almost like there's cinnamon in the air. There's something special about the Caribbean flavour. But then you came to Bogota, you said, I need a change.
I went up there and I do love it, and if one day I become extremely wealthy, I'd love to live between the two.
Well, that's it, isn't it?
But working opportunities for me, I mean, I found it quite, I like the hot weather and I found it quite easy to work up there. People said, oh, you'll just go up and sleep in a hammock. But I actually found it really easy. I mean, like you say, it's so romantic, it's out of a story, it's so inspiring. But the working opportunities just didn't exist, and I think that's why we have so many kind of costeños down here in Bogota. So, yeah, the dream is to live between the two, but at the moment it's so impractical for me to live anywhere else, really.
Yeah, I mean, I played the lottery last night, so I haven't checked, fingers crossed. If I won, one of the first things there is one of the multi-million apartments, you know, but in the old centre.
like Gabbo's house.
Well, yeah, like Gabbo's house. And of course, then I put on my hat and pretend to be Hemingway. That's what I would like want from Cartagena, but I love it up there, and of course I was married up there, and we've talked about this before on this show, but Cartagena is the perennial city of Colombian tourism, but it's not the only place. We need to be in Bogota is, you sort of touched on it, first instance of Bogota doesn't look amazing, it really doesn't, but then it's awesome. You know, things start appearing. I met up with another friend, actually, from Bradford. I know two people from Bradford in Bogota. and Bradford in the north of England, curry capital. And I've never been there. And I don't know anyone from Bradford in England, but I had to come to Bogota to meet people from Bradford. And, I took this girl up to a little cafe up here in Chapinero, where we both live. And she's like, I didn't realize these places exist. You know, it's an independent place run by young people. It's fun. There's a vibrancy and they're trying to source local products. And so they weren't exactly affected by the marches and the protests because their provider's just up here on the mountainside. And, how cool is that? But that's what there is. There's a real feeling of sort of, there's an energy in Bogota.
Absolutely.
And now you've lived all over the city. Previously, you've lived sort of in the mariachi district.
I've lived in about six different locations. I'm mostly moving for financial reasons and also just having a bit of fun, really. But I think you're so right there. I think cities are often about what you don't see.
Mm-hmm.
I love tourism. I love going to the great cities of the world, the Madrids, the Romes, to see them and be a tourist. But in terms of living, you need the energy, you need a certain movement of the people, and you need different districts and to get different things and to have work opportunities. And I think Bogota is so much about that, like you say. When you arrive at the airport, maybe it doesn't look the most beautiful city on earth,
mm-hmm.
but you have to be here a couple of weeks to feel that creative possibility, to feel the change and everything that's open to you here. I mean, I'm not bored, and I've been here for 3.5 years, and in England I moved house every 2 years. I moved cities every 2 years in England because it wasn't enough for me. But Bogota, life just changes all the time within one city. So yeah, incredible.
I mean, it's a different city. There's always something going on. I mean, obviously it's the political hub, and we've been seeing all sorts of things going on recently. But again, you're a writer, I'm a writer, and it's a source for so much.
Too much. Sometimes we can't keep up, I think. Otherwise, I'd be in the room all day typing.
People seem to actually, a lot of tourists, look, Bogota is a city, I don't really want to be there. But we'll come back to this. We'll come back to this after the break. We're talking to Vicky Kellaway from Banana Skin Flip Flops, a writer extraordinaire. You need to look up her website if you haven't. Don't go away. This is Colombia Pool. I am Richard McCall. Habla con la luna.
Pack your bags and explore the world with us. You're listening to the Overseas Radio Network.
This is Jason Hartman, and I want to welcome you to the Jet Setter Show blogcast, an audio version of our written blog at jetsettershow.com. You can find the full-length podcast at jetsettershow.com or on iTunes, where we interview thought leaders and experts on exploring lifestyle-friendly destinations worldwide. Here is today's blogcast.
Thank you, Jason. Expats are discovering that travel to Tulum, Mexico is like finding your inner hippie. Maybe you never were a hippie but kind of wanted to be. Maybe not. Maybe you're just into nature, community, and a big helping of relaxation. Tulum is a small town on the Caribbean coast of the Yucatan Peninsula that, despite an explosion of growth, actually has a plan in place to manage the increased demands in harmony with the environment. In a word, the city has prepared to grow in a way that doesn't ruin the very thing that brought people there in the first place. For expats interested in travel to Tulum, expect to find subtropical forests, long, wide beaches, and the mystical influence of a Mayan past hanging over everything. While some of Tulum's beaches have become known around the world, it's easy to find long stretches of sand with hardly another human nearby, perfect for downshifting from the rest of the world. The turquoise Caribbean on one side and jungle on the other has caused many a visitor to lapse into a hypnotic dream state they swear never to leave. From biosphere preserves rich with incredible diversity of animals and plants, to the eco-themed parks designed to put you in touch with the area's history, nature, and culture, you'll never lack for activities to activate your get-outside bone. But is it for you? Maybe a week or month-long trip would be in order. As with any new area, it takes a while to settle in and discern the true vibe of the place. Maybe you'll like it so much that you'll break out the beads, tie-dye shirts, and start channeling Jerry Garcia. Then again, you might say, to hell with this. But for jet-setting aging hippies, travel to Tulum could be just what you've been looking for. For more, visit jetsettershow.com. For the Jet Setter Blogcast, I'm Will Weeks.
Thanks for listening to this audio blog, and please see disclaimers and important information at the website.
You're tuned in to OverseasRadio.com, the station to help you reach your dream destination.
Va subiendo la corriente.
And we're back. I'm Richard McCall. This is Columbia Calling here on the Overseas Radio Network. We're here with Vicky Calloway, blogger, writer, and resident of Bogota. If you haven't heard of her, if you haven't read her blog, look it up. Bananaskinflipflops.com. Her Twitter handle is bananaskingirl, I believe. Handle, isn't it? Isn't it crazy? And of course, there's a Facebook page, and you can find that by just, you know, doing the regular search. We're talking about Bogota. We both live here. Vicky and I have communicated, I think, for now a couple of years. Vicky's been here in Colombia 3 or 4 years?
Three years.
I've been here 7. But we've been communicating because we move in the same sort of circles and we do the same sort of thing. But we'd never met until roughly 4 weeks ago when she finally moved up to, you know, what I would call a civilized area of the city. We live in Chapinero, which is it's a gay district, but it's also a central district. We're 10 minutes down from downtown. We're 10 minutes from uptown sort of thing. And it's got a community here. And Vicky's blog in the last couple of entries has been, you know, dealing about how Chapinero, I think, once it saved your life.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Tell me about Chapinero and why you're here now.
I don't know. I think maybe I'm one of those people that can be a bit easily led or whatever, but I tend to respond to the area I live in. So before I moved back down to Chapinero, I was living in not even a high-class area of the city. I don't know how you describe it, but a sort of upwardly mobile area of the city where... El Chico.
So
people spend a lot of money there on sort of thing, cocktails and parties, and it's still very sterile, really. And I sort of had a couple of months where I kind of got swept up into that, and I was so relieved to come back to Chapinero and just do some different things, really, and balance out life a bit. So yeah, I did say Chapinero saved my life, but I think it's true. I think you have to be grounded. Recently, I heard Chapinero described as a middle class area. I'm not entirely sure. You can describe Chapinero in any way, really. I mean, we think we have a bit of everything, don't we?
I also would say it's a middle location area. I mean, okay, you've got middle class, but not a great deal.
Well, it's mix, a blend.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of students because we've got all the universities mm-hmm. nearby. I mean, again, like the Javeriana and all of those up the hill over there, La Salle. And we've got those close by. And there's a lot of small apartments, if we just look out the window here, a lot of small apartments, young couples, But again, the rent's not cheap. But then if you cross the road a bit further down, you know, a bit further west of where we are, rents drop. You know, it doesn't look as salubrious as you would imagine. So it sort of keeps a balance.
Definitely.
I'm very happy. I mean, we've been here more than 2 years now, I think, in this apartment. I'm very happy in this location. I can walk. That's another thing people don't do in Bogota.
Exactly.
I can walk to places, I can walk to cafes, or I can walk to the supermarket. It doesn't require taking out the car or getting in a taxi. And that makes a real difference. I don't know.
It's a very vibrant area, and a lot of people have different personal projects here, and you see a lot of different shops, a lot of different cafes. It's sort of unique, really. We don't go in for the sort of this many chains that you see in other areas. So there's always something interesting. A cafe pops up, it disappears the next day.
Yeah.
There's always something going on in Chapinero. But I, finally, I feel after 3 years, I've found the right neighbourhood for me. So fantastic.
Well, this is great because it's also, you know, we're about 40 seconds away from one another.
It took me 3 minutes to walk here. I love it.
Yeah. And you know, but that's because you didn't know the building. Now you know the building.
No, I don't know the building for 2 minutes.
but it's the thing is, you know, we met for the first time four weeks ago. You're housewarming down the way. And of course, I was able to put a lot of faces to names as well, people that I've been communicating with.
The world is like that nowadays, isn't it? You feel you really know someone because you chat every day and gossip on Twitter and Facebook, and then after sort of a few months go by, I haven't actually met this person, but I feel like I know them. I think that maybe the world is going that way. But it was a pleasure to finally meet.
It was a very, very good pleasure. And what I like most is that we've been working on this. Well, it was your idea. I have to give you all the credit. We've been working towards this aim. I think it was between yourself, Kevin Howlett, who was our first interviewee on this show for Columbia Politics, to create a struggling writers group.
Yes,
and
right.
I think Paul Fowler, who was of See Columbia Travel, who's also been on this show, was going to be in it, but now Paul's gone.
Yeah.
He's left. You know.
No, but a friend of mine, Caroline, she just moved here. She wrote a book about Ireland and Columbia, so I don't think we're going to struggle for members.
Okay, so we're going to be four. And we're the struggling writers group.
Absolutely.
So check us out, because we're going to be like
Barranquilla group.
Yeah, the Barranquilla group in Colombia, which
without
is Gabo.
Nobel.
The group of 1927 poets in Spain, you know, Federico García Lorca, Cernuda Salinas. Who else can we say? You know, the group in Paris, the
absolutely.
Hemingway.
Absolutely. F. Scott Fitzgerald. We have great footsteps to follow in. Absolutely.
We've got very big shoes to fill on that one. But I like the idea of that we can get together and well, you know, bitch. About the industry,
yes.
Because we're all writing, we're all trying, and of course every day payment gets less.
Absolutely.
And it's more about what you do out of love.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to balance up other ventures and adventures.
Yes, absolutely.
To make ends meet. But we're here doing things. We're here trying to participate in Colombian society, and
yes.
That's a big difference. We're not just some sort of hippie on the beach in
banana skin
flip flops. There we go. We've done a great big loop back to refer into that. So it's fun. So anyway, there's a lot of people, and the expat community that seems to come out here, those who I've met, you know, Tiffany Cole of Gringo Tuesdays and others, and you, one day I'll get Chris Finn on, who's a graffiti artist down here,
yes.
And you know, people who are doing things, and it's sort of, I think Bogota, and I think Colombia in general, is a place that sort of sparks creativity.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, I mean... do you have any thoughts on
this? Yes,
absolutely.
I mean, I think something I've learned over the years is that you need to have meaning in life. And unfortunately, meaning and money don't always work.
Mm-hmm.
Walk hand in hand. And the point of being in Colombia is that you have to have a reason for being here. If you just want to live in Bogota just because it's another city, it's not really going to work, because the daily life can be a bit of a struggle and a bit of a fight, as anyone who's gone on a bus at 6 o'clock in the morning in this city knows.
Yeah.
So there has to be love. You have to be driven by that. And I have so many friends who they come here for one reason or another. Like you say, Crisp, he loves graffiti. He's here to be inspired by the city and produce great art and give it away. And Bogota has that perfect blend, because no one's too sure on the legality of graffiti. So it's still very cool. But the police aren't going to bother you too much, as long as you're not writing anything offensive about the police. So, and like you say, Tiffany, she's an entrepreneur. She was able to come here and build up this nightclub that's now doing extremely well and very successful and very well known. But you can apply, you can sort of break all the rules. You start with a blank sheet of paper and you say, this is my talent, this is what I want to do. I'm left alone here, I have to survive somehow. How can I do it? And that really helped me. I wouldn't be able to have done any of my projects in England, because everything's sort of done already, or there are set rules to follow, or there are perceptions of you. Whereas here it says, okay, you're a foreign woman, I know nothing about you, why are you here? I'm a writer. Cool, what are you going to do? And you can say, you can fulfill your dreams, really. So I love it. I love Bogota for
that's
that.
That's really interesting, because that's the thing. If I were living, I mean, it's been 16 years since I properly lived in England, but if I were living in England, no, I'm trying to write. Oh, very good. So how do you make money?
You know, who are you, Hemingway?
Yeah, what do you think? And here it's like, no, this is what I do. Oh, great.
Good for you.
You know, you're talking about Columbia too, of course. You know, and also, I'm trying to create a lifestyle. Well, I'm trying to create. I've carved out a lifestyle which is incredibly enviable.
Yes.
I come and go. You know, Columbia, around the region. I write on occasion, publish in the mainstream press or in the indie press, and you get a little bit of payment. And again, I've got my hotel, the Casa Maria Mompos, which you're going to come and visit.
Absolutely, can't wait.
and you know, when would I have been able to do this in the UK? You know, that is the reaction. The reaction is, it's all been done before. You know, it's not as if here it may have been done before, but you're still going to be given the opportunity to do it.
And the attitude of the Colombian people. And life is not always easy in Colombia. And it doesn't matter what your strata is, really, whether you face prejudice at the top stratas trying to get into the top universities, or if you're struggling along at the bottom just trying to feed your family. So these are people who are used to fighting for something, not giving up, going against everything and just trying to survive. So they respect that quality in other people. So obviously, a lot of the time we're a lot more comfortable as foreigners, but we're fighting for something and they respect that. Whereas perhaps in England, it can be seen of, please don't put your head above the parapet. Please get down and be in the rat race. We don't need to fight for anything here. We want to be as rich as humanly possible and drink on a Friday night, relax at the weekend. Yeah. It's not like that in Bogota. You're very welcome to have something else outside of your life and fight to succeed in a different way. And that's why I think the energy exists in this city, because we're all trying to achieve something. So we support one another rather than sort of trying to laugh at each other or bring everybody down to our level. So for me, it works. It's an incredible mix.
I think if sometimes you put yourself in quite, you become reflective and reflect about what would have been. Had I stayed in the UK, I reckon I'd probably be working in a press office or in public relations. You know, because where else as a journalist and writer, if we don't have the, as they say here, palanca, mm-hmm. you know, if we don't know people or we're not friends with the editor's son or what have you of the newspapers, you're never getting in.
Yes, yeah. And you also, yes, it's a very stressful world. And the reason, the Economist just released figures on alcohol consumption, and England is right up there and Colombia is nowhere near. I mean, they say, oh, we love beer in Colombia. No, absolutely, in terms of per capita, nowhere near. And I think people are a little bit depressed. You know, they work extremely long hours and then they glug back the wine or the beer to get over it. And I don't have a problem with that. I love wine too, but we just seem to have got the balance wrong, really, and we don't leave enough room in our lives for the things that you have to do for love and the projects that they don't necessarily bring in money yet. Mm-hmm. No one sets out to write a book and thinks about the money they'll make from that book or that sort of thing. But here it's able to say, you know what, just go for it, see what happens, and we respect that. Whereas, like as you say, in England, it's not always that possible.
Well, yeah, I mean, and I talk to friends. That's the wonder of Skype and whatever. You're never that far away. I mean, physically, yes, but through technology, no. And you know, they're working from 7 till 7, and, you know, just to get that bonus again, so that they may be able to squeeze 10-day holiday off in Hawaii or something else. And it just doesn't sound like a life to me. It doesn't sound like...
Well, obviously, it's not the life we chose, and I think we're extremely lucky. Maybe it worked for some people, but it certainly didn't work for me, and that's why I ended up here. And I don't know, maybe I'll have to go back with my tail between my legs and all my projects didn't work out, but I'm certainly happy to be giving it a try anyway. I don't think I'll ever regret that.
So. No, I won't be going
back. Go for it, take a risk. You only get one life, it's what you make it.
Exactly. But you know, we what we're talking about really here is how positive we've been received.
Oh, absolutely.
I came to your house warming people, and people spoke so well of you, Vicky. I mean, there's
not... That's because of my friends, they have to, I
think. No, they were happy to be there, and they would, you know, they weren't going to miss that party. So, you know, that's not a social pressure, that's genuine friendship. Colombians, expats, everyone who was there, they wanted to be there, you know.
They are a surrogate family, and I think that's a lovely thing about being an expat. People recognise that you're here on your own, you're fighting away, and you're trying to do something, and we just all want to support one another. And over years, yes, if you live alongside people, they do become like family. I mean, they're the people I run to. I've been made homeless a couple of times by accident and finance or whatever. And I have stayed. I stayed with Chris, the graffiti artist. I've stayed with Tiffany. You know, these are the people that are right there when you need them. And I love it. I love that fight. I just feel alive all the time when I'm here. I never know what's going to happen from one day to the next. From one morning to the evening, I have no idea what's going to happen. And that's not a bad reflection on Bogota. It's not. I don't embrace the chaos, but I just think... We're living, you know, we're doing something great, so it's a wonderful city, and the people here are great.
Excellent. Very poignant words there from Vicky. Listen, we're talking to Vicky Kellaway, a UK resident here in Bogota. We've been here for 3 years. Her blog is bananaskinflipflops.com. Look it up. don't go away. We're going to do, you know, we're going to establish a bit more, learn a bit more about her blog in the next segment. All right.
Your expatriation destination. This is OverseasRadio.com.
You've decided that you want to move overseas for that quality of life experience you've always dreamed of. But you don't want to give up the best of back home. We agree. Things like high-speed internet, safe neighborhoods where you can stroll along a shaded sidewalk, a place where you know your neighbors and you have friends close by. These are important. Grand Pacifica Beach and Golf Resort gives you the best comforts of back home paired with the exceptional lifestyle only available south of the border. Imagine strolling along over 3 miles of secluded beach, playing a round of golf along the ocean, surfing a world-class break all the year yourself, enjoying a fine meal on your balcony and toasting to another spectacular sunset. All this and more can be yours only an hour from Managua. Complete home and lot packages start under $100,000, and a nice home on the golf course is yours for the mid-twos. Come visit for a weekend and enjoy our oceanside golf course. Ride horseback on the beach, meet your future neighbors, and make some new friends. Grand Pacifica may be a place you'd like to call home. For more information, email Mike at MikesGringoLife.com. That's Mike at MikesGringoLife.com.
Worried about rising taxes, costly insurance, out-of-control health care, economic decline, staggering debt, mortgages, and retirement? It doesn't have to be this way. Escape to Ecuador, one of the most beautiful countries on the planet, and at EcuadorAtYourService.com, be your guide. Ecuador has been named the number one retirement destination in the world 3 times in a row. So if you're searching for beaches, jungles, farmland, cities, affordable healthcare, and a richer lifestyle at half the cost, contact EcuadorAtYourService.com.
Have you always dreamed of living abroad, but you are afraid it might be difficult? JustLanded.com helps you make the move. The free information on JustLanded.com helps you get a job, find a house, and a good school for your children. You can also meet other expats in our online community. Visit www.JustLanded.com and find out how easy it is to live your dream abroad. That's JustLanded.com.
Sit back and relax. You are tuned into the Overseas Radio Network.
And we're back. I'm Richard McCall, your host. This is Columbia Calling. We're talking about everything Columbia. And we're talking to Vicky Calloway, a UK citizen here in Columbia. She's made Bogota her home. Her blog is bananaskinflipflops.com. Look it up. Look up her Facebook. She's always putting interesting things up there. And on her Twitter, Bananaskin Girl. Let's talk more about your blog. Now, you went back to England for 3 weeks, you know, touching, right. You know, going back, visiting the parents, petting the dog, seeing the friends, going, you know, doing daily papers, little things in life, aren't they, you know? But your last blog entry, if I'm not mistaken, was written at Heathrow Airport.
Yes.
And it's an observation of what's going on. And you know what? You can read through the lines and the energy and the emotion that you have to return to Colombia.
Yes.
Yes.
It was. It's funny. Going back is a strange thing, but finally I feel like I have some balance. In the beginning, I felt very out of place when I went back to England, and I felt like I had to justify Colombia, and I had to be an ambassador for Bogota, and I had to answer all these awkward questions. But now, 3 years in, I'm able to go back and feel, okay, England is this. This is how I behave when I'm in England. This is what is expected of me culturally. But almost the minute I get to that border, I can come back and I can be Colombian again. And finally, the sort of, because Colombia does have a different personality. When we speak Spanish, all our faces change because we use different parts of our mouths. The expressions are different. The way we treat our friends, the affection we show. The cultural things are so much bigger than you realize in the beginning. The longer you live somewhere, the more you see that. So this sort of set my life at rest a bit, really, to understand who I am in England when I'm a tourist and visiting family, and who I am when I'm in Colombia, which is, I've adopted many, many things about Colombia. You have to assimilate to survive, I think. So, yeah, it was a bit of a, finally, I set some things at rest. It was a good trip.
That's very good. I haven't been back in 4 years. I'm trying. Maybe I'll go next year. Maybe I'll go. I try and organize it around friends' weddings so that I can do. And then at a wedding, I can see everyone at once. And then those people who are acquaintances, you know, they're seen, they're done, you know, it's because for the people I want to see, then I spend more time doing. But I want to talk more about your blog, because the thing is, you know, you write and it's literary, it's a descriptive, it's observational. Clearly you take time. These aren't things just, you know, spun off the cuff, you know, on my blog, I complain about things a lot, you know. See, but that's because sometimes I feel like I should be making some sort of political comment and stuff. But your blog is not. Your blog is really an appreciation of Colombia. It's not just Bogota; it's everywhere, and you can see down the side all the places that you've visited and the dilemmas that you're facing at that point in your life. I enjoyed one blog. You know, it's a much lighter blog that I'm going to bring up here, is when you decided that we were going to make a map about Bogota and the different districts, but not based on like the area. No, not Chapinero and not Chico and not Rosales. These are all districts within Bogota, very desirable district too. You are going to make a map because what we've noticed here, and what is really, I think, unique to Bogota, maybe, well, in Colombia perhaps, is that districts can be divided up as to what they sell. I know that in London you've got the banking district and you used to have Fleet Street and whatever, but do you see a guillotine area in London?
Exactly. A lot of Colombians said to me, oh, you're not being fair. You know, you have this in London, you have Savile Row where you go for your suits, and you had Fleet Street where you went for your newspapers. I said, exactly as you say, but you have a printing district and you have a tiny screw for this particular cupboard district and you have a pet shop district. And people often will call me and say, hey, do you know where the leather shoe district is? Or do you know where the microwave district is? And it's a real thing. So, with my blog, I work on the basis that essentially I think human beings are all the same. So if I notice something and I write it, I'm guaranteed that everybody who reads the blog will have noticed the same thing, but perhaps not thought about it before, and they have that moment of, oh, yeah, that is so true. And I think that's why the blog's done well. And as you say about the district, we've all noticed it and thought, is it just me, or am I in the magazine printing district, or am I in the roses, like Flores, of course, yeah, the flower district.
Of course.
And it's true, and one of the many things to love about Bogota is that you feel like a citizen of Bogota when you know where places are. If you're the person who knows where to go to get things, you're already winning.
And you know where to go to get, you know, to hire some mariachis, because there's a mariachi district where they stand on the corner.
I used to live there. I mean, that was very humorous and people used to laugh at me. But yes, I used to be sandwiched between the mariachi district, so sort of hired Mexican performers, and the pet shop district. Labrador's in very tiny spaces, I know. It's not the best.
It's actually heartbreaking.
It's very heartbreaking. It's not a pleasant district. But the combination of the two was absolutely brilliant. Where do you live? Oh, between the Labradors and the Mariachis. Oh, I know exactly where you are.
Well, if you need a new addition to the map, it's on the way down, when I take Alba, my wife, down to university, sometimes on the weekend, I go through the leather jacket 1980s district.
Yeah, I know it well.
They haven't changed any fashion there since the 1980s. Anything that's sort of puffed up, aviator jacket.
Yeah, I love it.
But that's the great thing about it. And you know, there's like a button district.
Absolutely.
But everything else.
Everything.
You know, it's very special on that. So, but let's move off, because, you know, this show is becoming very Bogota-centric. We've talked a little bit about Cartagena, and we're always interviewing people in Cartagena because it's very easy. But, you know, if you're telling someone, you know, Vicky Calloway, blogger, bananas and flip-flop girl, someone's coming to Colombia for, let's say, 10 days, because people don't have the time, especially as, you know, after we were mentioning previously, friends, you know, trying to, you know, squeeze in everything in a holiday. Where would you say in Colombia, you know, to get a real, an idea and a slice of life for 10 days, what would be the complete holiday?
Well, I think Bogota is a great place to live, but not so much for tourism. So I probably wouldn't spend too long in Bogota. And I think you obviously have to go to Cartagena. So I'd say do not come to Colombia and miss the coast. But I think the coffee district is extremely important for getting that idea. Beautiful hikes, you can go to the coffee farms, you meet local people. The people in that area are so welcoming. I would never ever miss the coffee district. And some friends of mine came from England and I said, this is what we need to do. A couple of days in Bogota, Cartagena, but we must go to the coffee district. If you have more time, I have a huge soft spot for Los Llanos.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a place tourists often go, but especially if you tend to go around sort of the rodeo seasons, the people down there are really fun and friendly. The music is very distinct. The culture is very distinct. They do great outdoor barbecues, swim in the river. So if you like sort of cowboy country a bit, and you've got a bit of extra time, I love it. And it's a lot easier to get to than the Amazon, which is the other sort of tourist target place that people go to. But Coffee District and Los Llanos.
No, Los Llanos, the eastern savannas, the eastern plains, a cowboy thing. But, you know, similar to the sort of area from Venezuela as well. Mm-hmm. I haven't visited yet.
Oh, I absolutely love it. Come with me, come down to the rodeo. I try to go every year for the coleo, which not everybody is into.
Well, they sort of pull
the
tails.
Yeah, they show off their sort of cow herding skills, but it's absolutely incredible.
I'd love to go. I'd love to go because it's only, you know, to get to Villa Vicencio, the city, which is the, you know, the capital of the Meta department, which is just below Bogota. It's 3.5 hours.
Yes, it's very, very close. And the road is excellent. It's a new road. It has tunnels straight through the mountains, so it's a dream to drive there.
Colombian infrastructure.
Sorry.
So, that's all right.
Bit of a nerd.
I don't know that, but the coffee region is somewhere that everyone should definitely go to.
Absolutely. And
you know, I'm a coffee addict. If I don't start with a few gallons of coffee in the morning, the day hasn't begun, but I go down there. What I love is how polite people are there and educated. Because of the hotel in Mompos, I spend a lot of time up on the coast, and which is a different atmosphere. And you know, if I have to catch a bus or something, the bus will come careening around a corner. Hijo de puta, aguanta, aguanta, súbete. And you have to come to run, and so we dragged up the stairs in this bus. and you sort of ask, you know, timidly, it's 40 degrees out and dusty, do you have air con? Of course. And he just opens the window. But you go down to the coffee area, and my wife, you know, she's part costeña, but she's lived in Santander and Bogota her whole life, really. But you know, she doesn't understand it. We went down to the coffee area and we're standing there waiting for a bus outside the town of Salento. The bus pulled up slowly, pulled into the lay-by. The driver walked down the steps. Excuse me, sirs, you know, in Spanish, perfect Spanish. Where are you going today? Oh no, we want to go to Finlandia. Ah, my bus is not the bus that you're looking for. You know, it's like the next bus will be in 2 minutes. And it'll be this, and it costs this much. And we were sort of, as they say here again, prevenido. We were nervous. Why is this man being so polite and nice to us? You know, so.
No, but that's the thing about the Paisas. I mean, they're very organised. They get things done. I think it's a brilliant area of the country. And like you say, the level of education and the level of interest. And yeah, I mean, it's an absolute dream, that area of Colombia. No trip is complete without it.
Now, I want to go. I want to go now to this coleo. A coleo, as you say, it's like cowboys. Maybe it's like Calgary, Canada, which I know pretty well, and it's got the stampede, but they don't have a competition where you have to pull a cow's tail.
That is the competition, and it's somewhat controversial, but I understand that is the way when a cow escapes, the quickest way to sort of steer escapes, to bring it back to the herd. And having been down there and watched it, the cow's not injured. I mean, it's a technique. It's sort of, they roll them onto the ground and it stops them. But the talent these guys have, and this is the one time of the year where they show what they're doing for us. I mean, if you're a meat eater, you can't complain about it. And if you're, this is what they're doing for us all year round, looking after these cattle out on these big, vast plains. One time of the year, they get to show people how their life really is. And to see these guys leaning out of a saddle, clinging on by a heel, for me was incredible. It may not be for everyone, but I mean, I didn't see an animal injured, and I'm quite hot on that kind of thing, but yeah, I loved it. The atmosphere, and I just think these guys are brilliant, and they're working so hard behind the scenes. I mean, we're not out there on the plains watching them work, but that's the one time a year you can say, wow, these guys are brilliant. And that's the way it used to be. I mean, cows in England, they don't have this kind of free range element that we have here on the plains. So, I mean, if you look at battery farming, that's cruel. If you look at coleo, it seems to be, it hasn't changed for 100 years, and that's exactly the way it's supposed to be. Love it.
Well, I think it's fantastic. I think we should add in here, we're going to plug your blog again. It's Banana Skin.
Very kind of you.
Yeah, we're going to blog it again, try to build more, and although you don't need the fans. We're talking to Vicky Kellaway, you know, originally from Kent. Now in Bogota, a Bogotana, soft spot for cowboys. I want to touch before we finish. We've got a few minutes left, and I want to say you're striking. You're very tall. You're blonde. You're blue-eyed. We have to always touch on security in this show. Just a jump there, because you obviously attract attention in Bogota and the cities, but for your appearance and whatever. You've had no problems.
Absolutely no problems. And sometimes I wonder if I am protected by that. Maybe there are would-be robbers. And they look at me and they think, no, that woman is too much trouble. And I possibly am a little bit careless. I mean, I sometimes work to sort of 8 or 9 o'clock, and I will walk around Chapinero, and I will take the bus at that time of night. And I feel safe. I don't carry a lot on me. I'm always prepared to be robbed. I think the best thing to be is to be calm in that situation. But in 3 years, it's not happened. You know, I've sent Colombian friends off to London who've been robbed the minute they get off the plane, which is really embarrassing for us as English people in this kind of idea that London is a safe haven and Bogota is not. But no, I mean, I think you should always be cautious. I'm super aware. I'm always looking around me to see what's going on. But no, I've never had any problems at all, even though I'm prepared for them. And I have lived in extremely scruffy parts of Bogota. Mm-hmm. I mean, I told you I lived the wrong side of Caracas for about 5 or 6 months, and I had absolutely no problems. So I just think, be careful, but don't walk around with this idea that people are going to rob you every second. It's certainly not happened to me, touch wood. When it does, I hope I'll be calm, hand over my money and go on with my day. But
I think when it does happen, we'll have another awesome blog entry.
But yeah.
you'll write about it, and somehow you'll find the humanity in it.
The humanity in it and the balance of life. And actually, I do see the humanity in it. If somebody who has not had the opportunities I have in life wants to take 20,000 pesos off me, I hope I will be magnanimous about that, because I don't think life is fair, and that's the price that you have to pay for being born lucky. So I am quite chilled about those kind of things, and maybe that's why I get looked after more than I should.
I think it's fantastic. I think it's very good. I think, you know, really, the listeners are going to be incredibly pleased with this interview with you. You've shared with us, you know, your feeling about the city, your feeling about the country, and through just your conversation, we can hear your emotion. We can hear that you love being here.
Yes.
We can hear it. Any plans of leaving?
No.
I always ask that.
Not at all.
Some people give me a long answer. It's quite convoluted, but one word answers are the best.
I would say one thing. One of my dreams of being here was to publish a book, mm-hmm. and I'm very much hoping that's going to happen before Christmas. I am very superstitious, and so I don't tend to talk about these projects until I think they're going to happen.
Really?
But yes, it's going to be called Columbia, A Comedy of Errors. And some sort of cultural observation, the things I do, and just a bit of a fun book, really, looking at aspects of Colombian life. But please look out for it and support a struggling writer. It's entirely funded by me and my co-author, so something to look out for. That will be a dream achieved, but hopefully before Christmas. But it's not finished yet, so let's not get too excited.
And that will be available as an ebook and everything.
I'm hoping very much to utilise the printing district for it to be a real, real book in English, and then next year perhaps the translation into Spanish too. But hopefully Bogota's going to help me with that particular dream. But
Colombia, A Comedy of
A Comedy of Errors.
Okay, you heard it here first.
You did hear it here first. I've not spoken to anyone else about it, even my own family. So.
Well, they're going to know about it, hopefully, if they
download
the podcast.
Yes, they will.
Oh, well, that's very exciting.
Super exciting.
Please look out for that, because we should be supporting our writers, we should be supporting the culture, we should be supporting positive news about Colombia, but not, you know, not sugar-lined, you know, observations about life as it is in Colombia. Vicky, it's been an absolute pleasure having you here on Colombia Calling. Thank you so much for taking the time of your day to be here.
No, thank you. It's a real pleasure.
All right, fantastic. We've been talking to Vicky Kellaway, an English lady here in Colombia who's been here for 3 years, not going anywhere. Look out for her book. Look out for her blog, Banana Skin Flip Flops. This is Colombia Calling. I've been Richard McCall. Thank you very much.
Live call-in shows and hosts from your favorite countries. This is the Overseas Radio Network.